Can you sense them? 14 charter members. Generations of families. 30 plus pastors. All the people touched by this church, our cloud of witnesses that today are celebrating with us. Can you sense them? All because of hope. A church founded by Swedish immigrants who came to our country with the hope of religious freedom, with the hope of a new beginning and a new church in a new town, in a new country. Wow. I hope you know how to turn it off. Okay. Today is a day of firsts. It's the first time I've had an associate superintendent have his phone go off during a message. Wow. This is the first. I don't know, I might not invite you again. Of course I will. Of course I will. No worries. First Sunday in Advent. First Sunday of the church year. First day of the church year. Happy New Year. The first day in the next century of our church. Wow. A day of firsts. The passage that Mercedes read gives us guidance for the days beyond this first day. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's throw off everything that, in another translation, weighs us down. So what is weighing us down right now? In our personal lives, there are things that weigh us down and keep us from being able to walk through our days with joy and with hope. Throw it off. As a church, what is weighing us down? I've heard financial concerns, weariness, grief over those who have left us, being overwhelmed by stress. My question for us is, can we throw it all off today? Can we throw it off and rejoice? Rejoice always. I preached on that last week. The sin that so easily entangles, that in another translation, so easily trips us up. What sort of sins keep us from focusing on Christ? On His call, on us as followers, and on our mission as a church? Any ideas? Lack of trust. Thank you, Marcy. That's it? We have no sins in this church. People get busy, right? We spend a lot of time thinking about ourselves instead of Christ. Technology? Can technology be sinful? Yeah. You're going, I'm not going to admit it. Addiction. Lots of things that entangle us, that trip us up. And the writer of the Hebrews says, throw it off. Get rid of it. And then let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race, by the way, is a marathon, not a sprint. That's good news. Many of us are beyond the sprinting age. The marathon is a long race. Suppose, and I'm not suggesting this, but suppose we all decided the next spring, instead of doing the 6K walk for water, we decided to take it a step up and to participate in the half marathon that goes, Sandy goes, oh, that goes with it. Suppose we did. Okay? What would we need to do? We'd need to develop a training program, right? One of the best things you can do is find a companion to train with. They know that people are more successful and follow through better if they have a companion or a group that they train with. We'd need to take care of our bodies, hydrating, eating nutritiously. We'd need, as we trained, we would need to increase our distance each week by 10% to 20% over a period of 10 weeks to be even close. We'd need to get plenty of sleep. We need to pack the essentials to take, dress appropriately for the weather, and then during the race, to pace ourselves and to think positively. That's what it would take to run a half marathon or a full marathon. So how can we take those ideas to racing this race that Christ has set out for us? What would a training program be?
Having quiet time.
What else? Communication. What else? Thank you. Bible study. What else? Faith. Yes. Say, come on Sundays. Okay? Yes. Thank you. How do we take care of ourselves? Spiritually, how do we take care of ourselves? Praying. Quiet time. Spiritual practices. How do we increase the distance each time? First of all, we have to want to. Right? Many of us go, I don't want to do any more than I'm doing. I don't want to study anymore. I don't want to read any more God's Word. I don't want to participate in a church anymore. Right? But if we're going to do this race that's set out for us, our commitment needs to increase. Not stay the same, and definitely not go backwards. How do we dress for the weather? How do we deal with the storms? The power of God? Faith. As Judy said, faith. Pace yourself. Focus on Christ. And most of all, what's the one thing you and I have to do? Thank you, Betty. I wrote in here, run! Capitals, run! And while you run, on whom are you focused? God, Christ. That's almost always the right answer. We've talked about this before, right? If we're sitting in our chairs and doing nothing, we're not running. No matter how slow we have to run, it's important to run and maybe walk first. The writer to the Hebrews says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider who? Christ. Jesus. Did he have a large bank account, by the way? Did he have a great car? A nice horse, a camel, fancy clothes. He walked everywhere in sandals, hundreds of miles, going from Galilee to Jerusalem and back. Let me tell you, that last, have you been to the Holy Land? That last trek up to Jerusalem, let me tell you, that hill is not for the faint of heart. And Jesus, the Jews, had the tradition of doing that three times a year to go to Jerusalem for holy days. He dressed in simple clothes. He depended on other people to take care of his physical needs. He didn't worry. Remember the loaves and fishes? Wow, he can do amazing things with just a little bit. And even out while he's doing this, he was criticized, he was opposed, even in his hometown. He had followers leave him. Did you know that? Some people don't read that part of Scripture, but in John 6, verse 66, it says, because of this, and it was a teaching he had just given, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Wow. If Jesus could stay focused when he lost a whole bunch of disciples, these aren't the 12, these are the other disciples that are following him from place to place. Can we not keep going forward when we lose a few people? You bet we can. He had people try to kill him. Then he was denied. He was betrayed. We'll be talking about this in communion. He was beaten, tortured, and finally he was crucified. That is the opposition he endured from sinners. And why did he do it? For us. For us. What weighs us down and prevents us from running our race at times? The question that I asked before, does it even remotely compare with what Jesus faced as he ran his race? Guess what? The one who endured all of that races with us. He is our companion as we race. He's there to strengthen us, to empower us, and to encourage us every step of the way in our lives and in the mission of this church. That's good news, is it not? Do you ever get weary? Do you ever lose heart? I do. Yeah. Let me tell you how I address it. People have left. Right? And we focus on that sometimes. Do you know what I focus on? All of you! Right? I focus on who's here. And I focus on who's going to come. We're missing people today, but I guarantee you there's a dozen of them next door getting ready for the brunch, because that's what they do. Right? We'll have a plenty full place over there when we get there. I focus on who's here. I focus on who's coming. Finances are tight, yeah. But look at all the funds that are being given. We're paying the bills, right, George? Yeah. All right. Yes, it's discouraging when some don't get involved. It's discouraging when some aren't excited about the future or even block the progress. But there's still time. And I look at what's already happened, what's already happening, and I see the immense opportunities we have. Holy cow! Have you seen the building next door and how it is being transformed? If you haven't, you're going to when we get over there. How can I stay weary and lose heart when I focus on Christ and his mission for us? This is the first Sunday of Advent. It is Hope Sunday. Jesus was and is the hope for a weary world. Throughout Advent, I'll be preaching a series called The Weary World Rejoices. Would you agree this is a weary world? And we're going to rejoice. We spend the next weeks preparing to celebrate Jesus' birth and also the reality that he's coming again. The past. Wow. How long have we been here? Yeah, it's not a trick question. It's our 130th birthday. Do you know what the average lifespan of a church is? 70 years. Is that current? That's the stats I had.
Probably. My guess is it's shrinking.
Well, this was like 5 years ago, so it should be pretty close. So let's say 65. That works even better, because that means we've been here twice as long as the average church. Wow! That is something to celebrate. I look back and I see the faithfulness of the generations. I see the times that this church did illogical, crazy things purely on faith. And I have seen, looking at the history, God coming through for this congregation over and over and over. And he's not going to stop. I see the impact of generations of worshipers here. Do you know at one time, okay, when we had the kids come forward, do you know at one time, I told Judy I was going to steal this fact. At one time, our Sunday school had 125 kids. I do not have a clue where they put them all. Seriously. 125 kids. Wow. We have been supporting the Seafarers Mission in Boston for over a century, making an impact. We've done prison ministry, youth ministry, senior ministry, community ministry, and the list goes on. And the present? Is God working in our midst? Is He? The correct answer is, yes, He is. He's providing for our needs. Through our Lutheran friends, He gifted us with a new facility. He tripled our building space and our property space, enabling us to make a huge difference in this community. And you are here. You are amazing. I can never express how much I love you. It's so fun being your pastor. Frustrating at times, yeah. But, you know, hey, that's part of being a pastor. The future? Who knows what the future holds, but you know what they say, don't you? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Right? When the journey is tough, we fix our eyes upon Jesus, not our worries, and we run the race. We don't sit and complain. We don't stay put in our comfort zones. Sometimes we take baby steps. Sometimes we walk. And sometimes, and I hope lots of the time, we run. How does a race end? We win. Do you realize that? We win. If you haven't heard the Mercy Me song called We Win, play it when you get home. Right? We win in the end. Those of us that follow Christ in a weary world, we win because He wins. Is that hopeful? Are you ready for the next 100 years? Or at least the next 10? Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank You for good news. Thank you for Your faithfulness to this congregation for decade upon decade. Lord, show us the way that You would have us run this race. Make clear the path, and then empower and encourage us, and sometimes kick us if necessary, to get running. Lord, we are grateful that You trust us with Your mission here in Orange. We love You, we praise You, and we seek to honor You in all that we say and do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.